Hi, I'm Danny Brown, and welcome to My Other Podcast Is, the show that brings you podcasters from around the world to talk about their other podcast, the one that's completely different from their main show. If you enjoy the show, I'd love for you to leave a review on your favourite podcast app, or over at myotherpodcast.com/review. And please, feel free to share with anyone that would enjoy the show too. I'd be super grateful. And now, this week's episode. Today, I'm joined by David Midas from North Carolina in the US. David is the founder of Midas Media and has many shows and productions under his belt. David's main podcast is Fun Fact Friday with Leela and David, which is a show I really enjoy and I will talk about shortly. His other podcast is, we'll talk about that shortly too. But first, David, welcome to My Other Podcast Is.
Hey, how are you doing, Danny?
I'm very good. I do like the branded baseball cap you've got on there.
Yeah, I was in Las Vegas for my 40th birthday, and I went to a hat shop because I am super bald, and the sun was beating down as it does in Vegas, and I was like, I need to cover this thing. And the girl at the hat shop was like, we're doing free embroidering. What do you want on there? And I was like, oh. So I just ended up getting my name.
That's awesome. That looks very cool. I like it. I'll have to do some of that for my own stuff, but I like it. And yeah, I've got a shaved head, as you can see. So I'm there 100% with you when it comes to heat and sunstroke, etc. So as I mentioned in the intro, you're the founder of Midas Media. And as well as podcasts under your umbrella, you also have Midas Live, which is a 24/7 internet radio station. So is your background in radio, or is this more something you wanted to experiment with along with other audio stuff?
No, I started listening to podcasts right around, I mean, like when they were getting started. And I want to give that a go. And I've never had any formal training in pretty much anything. but I see these things happening. I'm like, I think I could probably try that, or I want to do that. And I do it. I made Midas.live, which just has Creative Commons music playing 24/7. Most of it is instrumental only. I made that for myself because I need that kind of music going in the background when I'm doing things. I can't have like a lot of singing because it distracts me. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty much just, I wanted to see how to run an online radio station, figured out a way to do it. And I was like, oh, hey, you know, when I'm not live doing a show or something, I can just have music going.
And how do you find that? Like, obviously it's not quite, well, I guess it's live streaming though. So how do you find a live radio station compared to podcasting, where obviously you record it and then you do any post-production afterwards if you do that? Do you find there's like a preference for either or is that about the same?
It depends on the show. I do like listening to live, especially if I can join somehow, like in the chat, if there's a chat room or if you can call in. I know, you know, a lot of places you can call in, talk to the host. And the live is, it's just a whole different experience. There's some shows that if I don't catch it live, I'm not going to listen to the recorded version of the podcast.
Right.
It's just the whole experience is being there in it, like in the chat room, talking to the host while they're doing their thing. Some things you want to just listen to at your own pace. And some of it feels more like you're part of a community with the live than the recorded.
And it's interesting you mention about not wanting to listen back to the recorded version post live. I know there's like a live sort of podcasting show that I try and catch on every Saturday morning. That's really good. It's like two podcasters and they're giving advice on various topics that questions have been sent in. And obviously you've got the live chat, etc. And I feel that's really well suited for dynamic questions based on what the guests and the hosts are talking about. Whereas afterwards, you might not want to check through the live comments that happened at the time, etc. Is there any kind of shows that you feel were really better suited for live versus post-live published?
Exactly what you were just talking about. If there is an audience participation model built into the show, then unless it's like a Dear Abby type thing, where you know, you email in a question, things like that. Bandrew Scott does listener questions. On his show, you can go and ask him anything about, he specializes in microphones. So you can ask any microphone question you want and he'll get to it next time, you know. But when you have the audience participation built into the core of the show, there's one show that I listen to where he kind of just rambles on whatever's going on that week. And then he always has his phone lines open. So like the phone will just randomly ring and he'll stop what he's talking about, pick it up and start talking to the person
wow.
about a completely different subject or the same subject. You have to have a certain kind of host to be able to pull that off, though. You got to have somebody who's real good at improv, good conversationalist, that sort of thing. I'll call in sometimes to the show and just kind of try and throw them as off base as I can. You know, to
sort of like a curveball.
Right. Right. I act like I'm misunderstanding what he's saying, you know?
Yeah. No, I hear you. It's like the audience participation for live shows. It just makes it so much better.
We've done live with Fun Fact Friday. We would do live every week because we don't edit the show unless something serious happens, but it's neither here nor there. We liked the live, but we can't be consistent enough with it. And when people hear the live show is going to be on, they want, okay, well, Thursday at 7, this is what I'm going to be doing. You know, it can't be like, oh, we're going live in an hour. You know, it's you gotta be more consistent when you're live. And that just doesn't work with a 13-year-old girl who's got band practice and, you know, things like that. So
I hear you. And speaking of Fun Fact Friday with Leila and David, which you co-host with your daughter, whose idea was it to team up and start a podcast? And where did the idea for the premise of the show come from?
The year was 2019. I had the year 19 in my head. It was 2019, the end of it. I was driving her to school on a Friday, and I was like, what's a fun fact you learned this week at school? And she told me something she learned that was interesting to her. And I told her a fun fact that I had learned on the internet, you know, doom scrolling through Twitter or whatever I was doing. And then I was like, hey, we both had fun facts and it's Fun Fact Friday. And we were just, you know, cause she's 10 years old, or I guess 9 at the time. And then that became an every week thing. Every Friday when I was either taking her to school or picking her up from school, we would kind of have the same conversation. And I was like, we should do this as a podcast. Let's just do like a 2-minute podcast. You know about doing short podcasts. Let's just do a 2-minute podcast. Intro, one fun fact each, and then outro. That's it. Just do that every week. And then we were like, well, the first episode, we have to explain what it is. So that episode ended up being 10 minutes or so long. And then 15 minutes. And then 20 minutes. And then one of a very, very, very large podcast featured our show, like a 3-minute clip from it. They're like, this is a cute show. You know, if you're looking for a new podcast, it blew up and we started getting support from listeners and we guessed we were probably going to have like 5 episodes just as a fun thing to do together, you know, and then it just started snowballing into what it is. And it's, we've got a really, really great following, a great community built up around us, lots of help from outside. And it all just kind of naturally formed over the course of the last 4 years. It's just kind of grown and grown.
Yeah. And I've been listening to the show since the turn of the year. And I got to say, I mean, it lives up to the premise of fun facts for sure. So obviously you've got fun facts that covered cosplay, which was obviously one of Leila's. You mentioned that was one of Leila's favorites. How a herd of cows in England saved a baby seal, which I was just blown away. How do you find these facts that you share on the show?
We literally, when she gets home from school on whatever day we've decided to record, I'm like, hey, what are we doing? And she'll say, trees. So we both plop down in our computers, either out here in the studio or in the house. We'll get on our phones while we're eating dinner and we'll look up, literally, we'll just type in interesting facts about trees or facts you didn't know about trees or things like that. We'll pull down 5 or 6 links, throw it into OneNote, and then we'll get out to the studio maybe 20 minutes before we start. And we'll just go through those links and skim through. And this is part of the fun of the show is that we don't make a really detailed list of facts. We kind of just leave the websites open. So as we're reading them, it's the first time we've read them a lot of the times.
Right.
Which makes for some great conversations because I will say that it's estimated that there's 5,000 species of fir tree. And I made that up just now. And then she'll be like, well, this website says 3,000. and then we'll deep dive into, you know, which facts, where were they getting information? And we kind of roll it into the, if you have information about this, you know, shoot us a message. So it becomes part of the content that the facts on the internet contradict each other.
Right.
And we really only do, unless we're doing like a really deep dive into something, we do maybe 15, 20 minutes of show prep and then record the episode. And the improv and the finding mistakes is part of the fun. And we even turned some of our mistakes into merch. So,
oh, cool. So instead of like bonus content, you've now got merch around the bloopers, et cetera.
Right. Like Leela said, cod pastor instead of podcaster one time. And
that's an interesting image.
Oh, right. A fish with a, you know, a priest collar on talking into a microphone. And then boom, we got an artist to, they did it for us. And now we've got that as merch on our store.
That's very, I'll have to check that out. That sounds like something I definitely wear, like the little cod pastor thing. Now, you mentioned, obviously, the show, it's primarily yourself and Leela, but you do have occasional guests on there. And I'm wondering if there's like one guest or a couple of guests that have brought a fact with them that you've been thinking, no way is this true, until, you know, obviously you look into it.
Oh, wow. I think probably the one about chicken eggs. We did an episode with Mimi Smith Dvorak, who wrote the book Too Many Eggs. It's an 850-page book about eggs. it's got a lot of recipes. There might be 750 with 850 recipes. Anyway, a lot of egg talk. We did an hour and a half episode with her, and then we talked for another hour and a half on the live stream afterwards. So she had a lot of stuff to talk about. And she said that the chickens, the color of their ears determines the color of the eggs they're going to lay. So if you look at the side of a chicken's head, you can tell what color the eggs they're going to lay are going to be. Hmm. And I was like, no, you're full of it, Mimi. But no,
I didn't even know chickens have, I mean, obviously chickens must have ears, but you don't see that. They don't look external, right? I'm guessing they're sort of.
But if they did, that would be hilarious. Can you imagine a chicken with ears? That's a shirt right there. Boom.
Right? Exactly. Now you have to come up with a fun fact that you get wrong just to get this like this t-shirt with the chicken with the ears on it. That'd be, weird. Now I'm weirded out just by thinking of that image. Now, obviously, your show is about fun facts, and that's your main podcast, and you do have another one. Before we talk about that other podcast, though, you shared a fun fact about yourself. Well, fun, maybe not so much for yourself, and that involved a dart. What happened there?
Well, okay, so when I was five-ish, you know, it was a million years ago, so I don't remember the exact age. My brother and I were in the backyard out in West Texas, and we didn't have a lot of money growing up, so we had to make our entertainment. So we went out in the backyard, and my brother had some darts. Like metal darts that you throw on a dartboard, but we didn't have a dartboard and there were no trees because we were in West Texas. It's desert. We were like, well, what are we going to do? It's like, so we drew a target on the ground and we threw the darts up in the air, like lawn darts, not even thinking that this could end badly because I'm five and he's seven or eight. So we just start chucking these darts up in the air, just chucking them up in the air, trying to hit the target. Well, one of the darts is coming straight down. And I look up and I'm like, oh no, that might hit. Boom. Okay. So the dart, I've got video. Like I always have to tell this with audio. So I have to describe it more. I will still, because I know some people are only listening on audio. The dart went into my eye socket and the dart went in between the eyeball and the bone, like the part of my skull for the eye. Like, so it went right in here and then the weight of the part that you hold, the handle part of the dart, I don't know if that has a more technical name, but it pivoted because of gravity, pushing the pointy part of the dart up and making my eyeball kind of pop a little bit forward, which was really, you know, freaky looking. Apparently, I never saw it.
probably a good thing.
So I run inside with a dart hanging out of my face, and my mother start screaming, you know, oh no. So my dad walks up and he's like, and grabs the dart and just goes plunk and pops it out.
Oh, so yeah, that was almost behind your eyeball and he still pops it out.
He just slid it right out.
Oh,
and then so we go to the doctor, you know, And the doctor says, he goes, does the full workup and everything and checks it all out. And he's like, if that dart had gone in at a 10 degree different angle, if it had been 2 millimeters one way or the other, it could have, you know, I wouldn't have an eyeball anymore.
Oh, my.
So it landed in the exact perfect position. My head was in the right position. It was like it was planned.
by your brother. I'm going to get it right here.
He's really good at lawn darts. Now, I will say, kids, do not try this at home.
No. And especially with lawn darts. You know, at least it was like darts, if you like dartboard darts. Like lawn darts are crazy big.
Yeah, because the dangerous. Thickness of the, that would have hit my eye, even if it went in the right angle. That would have been bad. But yeah, I still remember that very vividly, even though it was, you know, 36 years ago, 35 years ago, whatever the age was.
Oh, well, on that topic. So moving from fun facts on eyeballs and darts and everything, as I mentioned, your other show is called Midas Pod. Your show is your very first podcast, and that's called Midas Pod. And I believe it's 10 years old. You actually started that in 2014. So it'll be 10 years old this year. So what is Midas Pod? How did that come about?
Midas Pod is an audio fiction anthology series. Almost always do sci-fi, fantasy, or horror stories. Something with a fantastical element. But occasionally, if a story is good enough that doesn't have a fantastic element, we'll do that. It's performed or read by amateur to professional voice actors. Depending on the tone I'm going for, sometimes there's sound effects, sometimes there's music, sometimes there's not. Sometimes the story doesn't call for it, or it's better without it. So I got into that. I was listening to a lot of audio drama podcasts back in 2012 to 2014, in that time period. And I was like, I want to do a voice on one of these, because people tell me I have a good voice, right? Mm-hmm. And I can do a lot of accents, and I can, you know, do all that stuff. And I was like, oh, I want to give this a go, right? So I contacted a couple of those audio dramas, and nobody ever got back with me. Or they were full up. They already had all the actors they needed. They didn't want it. They're like, yeah, we're done with the casting part. That was that was a headache in its own right. So I was like, well, I looked into how do you make a podcast? Oh, it's just an RSS feed and an MP3 file. Well, heck, I can do that. So I got my Xbox 360 microphone, the one that comes with Rock Band.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a wire coat hanger mount for it and wrapped it around my neck to hold the microphone in front of my face, because I needed my hands free to, you know, like scroll through on the laptop and read the story that I was doing. And I found Audacity, which is a free, you know, audio editor. And I was like, I can do this. So I found some authors who I liked their stories online, just short stories, and asked them, hey, can I make this into a podcast? And they were like, sure. So I got it in writing that I could turn it into audio. I was like, you still own it. I don't want rights to anything. I just want to do this for fun. And I made an episode, and I had a really good time doing it. Met some nice people. And I was like, oh, this is fun. So I just continued from there. And it's kind of, it took off a little bit, but I've had to do, it's a passion project. So it's not real consistent. I'm making it more consistent this year. Like I've already got 2 episodes out this year, and I've got like 3 in the pipe right now, waiting on files from voice actors, things like that. So it just kind of, it took a long break when we moved, because I had to tear down my studio and all that. But I'm trying to get back into it. I'm trying to get real consistent with it, because I really do enjoy the creating the soundscapes and getting the voice actor files together and, you know, just kind of making the whole production of it.
And you mentioned getting everything together and obviously soundscapes, and you decide what episode might need extra audio and sound effect, music, etc. I got to say that, I mean, the show is really well produced. And you can tell a lot of work and effort and love goes into it in every episode. And I'm curious, with you having voiceover actors and yourself involved and all the sound effects and production that goes into it, and you mentioned it's obviously a passion project that you want to do more of this year. How long does an average episode take to create? Obviously, it's very different from the show that you do with Leela. So how long does an average episode take to create for this one?
For folks who don't do podcasts, we don't edit Fun Fact Friday. So from when we sit down and start looking up facts, that's 15 minutes. We do a 30 to 45 minute show, and then 15 minutes to get everything together, and it's out the door. So we're like an hour and 20 minutes in a week, right? Metaspod, it varies depending on the story, because if the story has a single voice actor, like if let's just say I'm just reading a story, like I did To Build a Fire, and it was just me reading the story, there was no sound effects, minimal music, just like a little at the beginning and end. That episode took, you know, the amount of time it takes to record, and then maybe 45 minutes of editing, you know, okay. Easy, for an hour episode. Then there's things like A Christmas Carol, which I did a couple years ago. That was 19 voice actors from 5 different countries, and all of them are recording on different equipment in different rooms at different times. None of them had each other's voices to play off of. I had to take all of that, make them sound like they were in the same room together, fix any glaringly bad audio issues. Long story short, that episode was about 50 minutes long, give or take. And I had 74 tracks of audio in my editor. Oh. And 19 voice actors, endless effects to make everything work right, and plugins and things like that. That one took me, I want to say, start to finish. Now that's casting, collecting files, chasing people down because they haven't gotten their files to me and I want to get it out before Christmas. all in all, about 60 hours.
Right.
That's from deciding I want to do it to pressing upload. 60 hours. The actual editing, once I had all the files together, was probably about 15 to 20 hours. But that also includes going out and finding public domain music. And I tried to go for things that were extremely old recordings of Christmas carols, put it in that time period. And then finding the sound effects that I could use legally. And, you know, I always have to make sure that I'm doing everything above board with copyright. Since I self-host, there's no such thing as a copyright strike. I just get sued. So.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But I got to say, I mean, that's testament to A, your production skills and your man management skills and the voice actors involved. Because I listened to that episode, I Love Christmas Carol. And when I saw that episode on your list, I thought, ooh, I'm going to check this out. And it does, it draws you in. And you can't tell that. I honestly believe that people were in the same studio recording and maybe you got the different characters coming in on one day and the other characters coming in on another day to record their pieces. You can't tell. So kudos for that. It's just like, and to hear that was put together in that time frame as well. I'd be on that for like 6 months probably trying to get all that, that stuff together.
I want to say I did it in 3 weeks. If I wasn't at work or sleeping, I was working on the show.
But that's why it's a passion project, right? When you love something, you really allocate that time to it and really want to make it shine.
Right. And I appreciate you saying you enjoyed it. That's
no, definitely. And I'd recommend anybody to check out the show for sure. And audio fiction lovers. Now, on the Leela, on the show you do with Leela, you mentioned that you'd maybe dabbled with some live stuff, but it's not really the format for it. With the show, have you ever considered doing like a live stream with actor reads either over a StreamYard or a remote platform for actors like A Christmas Carol, maybe not so much that production, but a production that might suit a real good live stream and make it a special event for the show?
That is in my, okay, I'm going to sound like like I'm organized and I plan things. That's in our roadmap for this year. I want to do that. And I did, speaking of A Christmas Carol, I played the narrator at our local theater troupe's version of A Christmas Carol this past year. Leela was also in it. We had a good time with that. And we, you know, got to meet a lot of local actors. And I was like, hey, if any of y'all want to, you know, be a voice actor, let me know. Because I don't have anybody local. Everybody I have is, you know, internet people. So now I have some local actors and it's in the cards. We're going to get a live show done like the old live radio dramas, you know, of yesteryear. And I'm actually thinking about trying to find some old radio drama scripts that are in the public domain now, or they would have to be in the public domain. The copyright's expired. Nobody's claiming it, that sort of thing. And I believe I know where I can get some. I think I bookmarked it on one of my computers and I'm thinking about doing some live and with the technology, the way it is now that, you know, you can have almost lossless conversations across the internet. It's possible and it's doable. And I've gotten really good with live adding sound effects and things like that. Things like the Rodecaster Pro made it really easy. It just all just kind of works. You know, I make my, put my pads and I can have my sound effects ready to go. I did a live episode of Meet Us Pod at a local pub, but I had my laptop, a mixer, an interface, a MIDI controller. I had all of this equipment, like this, and it was all wired together and there's wires running everywhere. It was a mess. Now I would just take the Rodecaster and my mic, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That would be it. Crazy good piece of kit for sure.
It really is.
And would that be, so would that be just like a live stream audio wise, or would you want to put maybe some video live streaming to, you know, to a YouTube or something like that? Or
maybe video. I am on the fence about a lot of video streaming. We did video streaming for Fun Fact Friday. We did about 20 episodes or so. And the amount of extra work it is to do the video wasn't showing up in the benefit part of it for us.
Right.
Our core audience is audio only. And we were like, we're not really seeing the benefit of this. And it's a lot of extra work. If I do something with Meet Us Pod Live, if we do video, it may go out to streaming services, YouTube, Twitch. I don't know what the other ones, Rumble and, you know, all of them. But I would want it to be on my terms. When we did our video, we actually ran a video streaming service. So you would go to funfactfriday.com to watch the video. And we simul stream to Twitch. But we always tell people to go to our website, not to Twitch slash, you know, because we want, if Twitch goes away, you know, you don't know if Twitch is going to go away. We don't want to lose everybody. We want everybody to know, oh, hey, they're not on YouTube anymore, but you know what? They're on funfactfriday.com. They can always come to that and find us.
Yeah.
So I always want to make sure we have, like, you know, control of our stuff.
No, and that makes sense. I mean, we've seen podcast apps disappear over the last 12 months. Like Google Podcasts is closing this year. Stitcher closed last year, one of the most popular around. So yeah, it makes total sense. And as you say, you control the environment as well. So if something does go wrong, at least it's your environment. You've got more control over, okay, this is how we can do a quick patch, quick fix or whatever.
Right, right. I like that a lot of the podcasting 2.0 features that are coming out are about being, you can be completely independent. You don't have to depend on large platforms, because there's so many of them now that people are kind of starting to fall back to, well, you know what? I don't know which one I should hang my hat on. So I'm just going to make my own and, yep. And just also let those other sites grab a copy of things whenever they come out, because there's so many and they raise up and then they fall, and then they, you know, you don't know which one's going to get shut down next week or bought out by somebody else and be gone. And it's good to just have your own stuff. We self-host. We try and keep everything within our realm where we can put our fingers on it, you know?
No, and that makes sense. It's like, I know a lot of people don't like Spotify for various reasons. So if you direct them to Spotify, you're going to miss out listeners because they don't want to use the platform. So it makes complete 100% sense. Now, there's a question that I do like to ask guests each episode. And that is, obviously, you've got a few podcasts under your belt. You've got the live one, etc. But if there's one podcast by someone else that you would have loved to have come up with the idea for, what podcast is that and why that podcast?
Oh, wow. That's tough. Who are these podcasts? I don't listen to it often, but I like the premise. I have a little bit of a mean streak. I kind of like to pick on people a little bit. I don't, because it's just not the right thing to do, but there's always the thoughts in my head. Like when I listen to a really badly produced show, where you can tell they're just not trying. Like if you can tell they're trying and it's not great, it's one thing, but you can tell there's some shows. But the premise of the show is basically they get recommended, hey, why don't you roast this podcast? So they'll listen to a couple episodes, pull clips, and then roast the show. I think that's a really, but here's the thing though. No publicity is bad publicity. People beg them to roast their show.
Right.
They're like, oh, roast my, because they've got such a huge audience that they will get a big bump in listeners, and a lot of them will stick around after that show comes out. So they have a wealth of content. They just have a full inbox of, you know, they just go listen to these podcasts.
Right. And
it's a good premise. I like it. And then a lot of the other ones I listen to are audio dramas. So there's that. And I kind of do that already. So.
And for who's these podcasts, is that, so do they only take submissions by the podcaster themselves, or is it listeners submitting shows that they listen to too?
I'm not sure how they do it now. And honestly, I haven't listened in a while. So if you go listen to the show and they're like, they've gone off the deep end, don't blame me. but the premise of the show is what I'm talking about. I'm not sure. I want to say that sometimes they may just go out and find them. When I started listening a really long time ago, they would just go out and find podcasts. Mm. They would just scroll through and pick a random one and pick on it. but then after they started getting bigger, I'm sure they have a whole list of them that they could go through, but it's a fun premise. It's kind of mean, but like I said, I've got a little bit of a mean streak and I don't get to scratch that itch. So it's fun to listen to other people do it.
So you're the guilty pleasure for your like sadistic part, or you're a little bit less sadistic.
Right. I'm a nice guy. I really am. But at thoughts, you know, there's intrusive thoughts.
So, David, this has been an absolute blast to have you on and hearing about your eye, obviously, and your plans for your current podcast, etc. For everybody that wants to, A, check out your Fun Fact Show or the Meters Pod or all the other cool stuff that you're doing and get updates for the live show that you might be doing, you know, later this year, where's the best place to, A, connect with you, check out your podcast, etc.?
If you just go to meetusmedia.com, it's MEDUSMEDIA.com. Both of my feeds pop up there and there's links to all my stuff. If you want to just check out Fun Fact Friday, real easy, funfactfriday.com. And meetuspod, MEDUSPOD. It's Medusa without the A. So yeah, and easy to get a hold of. I'm pretty much the only meetus online that's really doing anything. So,
and we'll look out for the hat. Maybe easy to spot. And I'll be sure to leave all the links to the sites in either the description if you're watching on YouTube or your show notes if you're listening on your favorite podcast app. So again, David, I really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Well, thanks for inviting me. I had a good time.
Thanks for listening. To make sure you don't miss an episode, you can follow the show for free on your favorite podcast app or online at myotherpodcast.com. Or, if you're on the YouTubes, you can watch every episode at myotherpodcast.com/YouTube. And be sure to hit that like and subscribe button. Take care, and I'll see you next time on My Other Podcast Is.